Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining us now on the line, political analyst Sarah Isger joining us. So you might remember her, a campaign manager for the Carly Fiorina campaign for president, also a fellow at the Harvard Institute of Politics, joining us now this morning. Sarah, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to talk with you, and it comes at a perfect time because yesterday we had some big announcements both here and down in the south of the country. Here, our governor said most restrictions on capacity will come off on May 19th. However, kind of looking into that, because the physical social distancing requirement remains in place, mask requirement remains in place, the actual impact is not terribly great here in New York. In the meantime, in Florida, all COVID restrictions are lifted from their governor, and there is this big disparity in what we're seeing in the different rules from state to state. And I'm wondering what type of friction that makes if you're inside of state government, and how other states and their different trajectories are impacting what you're looking at doing in terms of rules. How much pressure is applied to a place like New York from a place like Florida, if at all?
Well, politically, what's interesting is that these state governors actually have an incentive to follow a unique path. You know, our founders talked about these 50 laboratories of experiment. I mean, they didn't talk about 50, but we've got 50 now. And for DeSantis, for instance, the governor of Florida, this is his platform to run against Biden in 2024. He wants to draw that contrast, and then you hope it works out. So in Florida, they've done pretty much the opposite. Whatever Biden says, whatever New York does, whatever California does, DeSantis has gone the opposite way. It's worked out incredibly well for him within the Republican Party. The last poll that I saw had him well above any of the other candidates and gaining speed. Now, just real quick, those polls looking at 2024 primaries, that doesn't mean that person's going to win the primary. But what it can tell you right now, especially when you compare it to a poll from the month before by the same folks, is who's got name ID with Republican voters and who they're hearing about from conservative media. Ron DeSantis, as the governor of Florida, opening up his state is just gangbusters on both of those fronts. Now, in New York, for instance, that doesn't necessarily mean it's hurting them. It means that they've got a totally different group of people that they're talking to. Now, Cuomo has problems outside of COVID. The continuing debacle and slow-moving crisis that is how he handled the nursing home death is one thing. His sexual harassment and assault allegations are another thing. But purely in terms of how he's handling COVID moving forward, he doesn't care what Florida's doing. He doesn't need to compete with Ron DeSantis. He's competing for Democratic voters who want very much to draw a contrast with Trump, Republicans, and the sort of laissez-faire maskiness.
All right. So he... Cuomo is not pressured right now by what DeSantis is doing. Cuomo's just doing his own thing.
I think that's right. Now, the one area that Republicans have not been consistent on, a huge opportunity that they're missing, is talking about schools and only talking about schools and then talking about school some more. You have a lot of parents out there who are incredibly frustrated. They're getting vaccinated. They're hearing things should be opening up and their schools aren't open. And it's especially affecting children of color. Something like 69% of white children are back in school. And it's exactly the reverse for children of color who are still learning online, which we just know isn't nearly good enough for kids. Why Republicans aren't sticking on that message and instead are talking about Dr. Seuss and God knows what, hard to understand right now because it is such a huge political opportunity, especially in these blue states.
And it's one that's really not going to go away, the topic that is, over the course of the year, because you already have these pieces out of what is going to happen in the fall, what should happen. And, you know, you read into it more and more, and even, I would say, traditionally left-leaning publications are putting it out that there really is no reason now, much less in the fall, for kids to be out of school. Yet it still remains a question mark as to what's going to happen. I mean, this is an issue that's going to stick with us.
And if you think about the pure politics of it, which I know is kind of crass, but one of the biggest drivers of Democratic fundraising, for instance, are the teachers' unions. Here's an opportunity to draw a wedge between your opponents and one of their biggest set of donors. You know, make the Democrats push away the teachers' union, alienate the teachers' union. And it's an opportunity also to educate voters that Republicans have traditionally failed with on public sector unions, these things that Republicans have generally been against that have kind of been unpopular. And yet, once again, not what Republicans seem to be talking about the most.
Sarah, you know, I don't know if it's well known yet, but speaking of teachers' unions, the CDC guidance on school reopenings that came out in February, it was reported over the weekend in the New York Post that it came directly from the American Federation of Teachers. It wasn't science that drove the decision. So that's got to be another huge point.
I mean, just incredible story. I'm waiting to see if some other outlets match that. It almost seems too outrageous to be true, as you have, I mean, especially women, 2 million women having to leave the workforce because they are the primary caregivers for either their children or their elderly parents. And then to find out that the teachers union was playing politics with this and that the Biden administration was going along with it, that will be a huge scandal if it unfolds that way. But I'm willing to wait and see because, again, if something is that outrageous, like, let's get some more reporting on it.
Kind of bringing it all full circle, whether it's schools or something else, you kind of mentioned in Florida, their governor, Ron DeSantis, is basically putting it out there, staking his reputation on doing the opposite of whatever the blue states are doing. And it kind of, you know, the more and more we go on here, it just seems like politicians are making decisions where they're very worried about the chance, no matter how small it might be, of something bad happening on, you know, their watch, so to speak, instead of, you know, using some of the data or sticking their neck out there or doing something that might bring in a little risk, so to speak. Politically speaking, is that the sound strategy, or I guess where do you see us looking at those who are just kind of sticking with, all right, whatever the CDC says, that's going to be our rule going forward? How do you see that being viewed, let's say, in 3 months?
It's an interesting question because on the one hand, you have Democrats, I think, being very risk averse. That's what you'd expect of politicians, frankly. Anything they can get hit for, they want to avoid that pain. It's, you know, not the same thing at all. But think about the fallout from the Willie Horton ad in the late 80s. Then no governor wanted to commute sentences for anyone because if any one of those people committed another crime, that was the ad. All it took was one. Same thing kind of happening here. And so you see a lot of risk aversion. What is fascinating and counter to what you'd think is that Republicans want to draw that contrast so badly, they're doing the opposite. They're doing the very, very risk tolerant thing and saying, yep, but this is about the economy. I will tolerate X number of deaths. It might even be slightly above the average. And it's more important to keep the economy open, and they have their voters behind them. What has also been interesting is that they took that risk, and it's turned out not to be that much of a risk. It is, I mean, just fascinating to look at the comparison between California and Florida, how similar their outcomes have been, given how different their policies are, which I think tells us that maybe we don't know everything about this virus just yet, and that politicians trying to make health policy was always a bit fraught.
Yeah. Hey, Sarah, thanks so much for the time. Look forward to speaking with you again in the future. It's Sarah Isker, political analyst, maybe spinning the terms liberal and conservative when talking about COVID.